the show that's focused on investing strategies for today's needs and tomorrow's goals. This is Bucket Strategy Investing, presented by the Wealth Advisors at Lucia Capital Group. Now, here are Johnny Dean and Rick the Professor Plum.
Hard to believe we're back live once again, getting underway, Bucket Strategy Investing. Welcome back to another edition of the program. We're trying to get the week going with Professor Rick Plum, who somehow lost an hour over the weekend. I don't know how that happened. But anyway, he's here with me as always from Lucia Capital Group. I'm Johnny Dean. Main topic for the first couple of segments is going to tackle the subject of Social Security taxation. That's right. Your Social Security payments, you know, those checks you get every fourth Wednesday or whatever it is. They can, and they often are, taxed. That's a big surprise to people. That's right. You know, if you make more than a certain amount of money during the course of the year from one source or another, you could be subjecting your Social Security payments to taxation. And in some cases, as much as 85% of those payments could be subject to tax. Certain income counts towards what's known as your MAGI, your Modified Adjusted Gross Income, while other income perhaps does not. This requires knowledge and planning. So we're going to give you a sum of both with Professor Plum coming up here in just a couple of moments. Now, if you need to get in touch with the Brain Trust right now about anything related to your money, any concern you have from a financial standpoint, you can give us a call right now, 877-PLANNER. That's 877-752-6637. Looks like all the lines are open right now. Great time to call here. 877-PLA-NNER. Brain Trust is standing by. You can also email us. You just head over to wealthed.com, wealthed.com. Click on the Find Your Answer link near the top of the page. Type your email in and send it to us here in the studio. Professor Plum, Certified Financial Planner, we're ready to talk to you about whatever's on your mind money-wise. You can also reach the professor or any of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group at the off-air number, if you need to talk that way, 800-644-1150. Professor Plum, our longtime Brain Trust advisor, here to help you out with your money strategies both on and off the air. How do you know you're on track with your retirement goals, huh? How can you be sure that your financial plan is addressing your most vital needs when it comes time to retire? Well, ask the Brain Trust at Lucia Capital Group. They'll be happy to help you out. Again, the number off the air is 800-644-1150. On the air, that's the important one right now, 877-PLANNER. We do have all the lines open right now for you to call and ask your money question, comments, concerns, whatever it is, about anything we talk about or anything that you think we should talk about on the show. 877-PLANNER, 877-752-6637. Biggest question I seem to hear, maybe you do too, Professor Plum, when it comes to Social Security. I thought Social Security benefits were tax-free, followed by a, what? Explain.
Well, and usually when we do talk about Social Security taxation, not as a topic, but just in general, when somebody has a question, I'll get a call on my voicemail that says, you don't know what you're talking about. Social Security is tax-free. And for a lot of people, Social Security is tax-free. But for more and more people each and every year, Social Security is not tax-free. And why I say that? Because more and more people are being subjected to the taxation on Social Security because the thresholds for taxation on Social Security have been set in stone and they don't change. The original one, which was created back in 1983, has not changed with any cost of living adjustments since they set it in 1983.
Yeah, what's that level right there?
Single individuals, $25,000, married couple, filing a joint return, $32,000.
Again, this is modified.
And this isn't your total income. This is just, it is a calculation and it is a made up amount of income. It's an accounting issue. It's just a number.
They're picking certain sources and saying, count this, don't count that, throw that in, get rid of that. And when you add all of that up, if you're single, is it over X number? If you're married, is it over this number?
And the MAGI, the Bonafide Adjusted Gross Income, after all that rigmarole that John just went through, that number just tells you how to work a formula. It doesn't tell you whether it's going to be fully taxable, half taxable, how much is taxable. That is what's applied in a formula. So when somebody says, well, when does my Social Security become taxable? Well, it depends on what other income you have. The more other income you have, the lower the Social Security you have, the quicker you're going to get to the Social Security taxation. The higher your Social Security, the lower the rest of your incomes, the slower it takes to get to the Social Security taxation. So it's all a matter of you and how it works. But it is a formula. It is progressive. It is based on other incomes. And other incomes basically includes everything. the only thing, somebody asked me this question over the weekend, what incomes do not affect the taxation on Social Security? And the only one I could come up with off the top of my head was Roth distributions, qualified tax-free Roth distributions. They don't show up anywhere in the MAGI, the Modified Adjusted Gross Income. But pretty much every type of income does. If it's on the tax return, it'll pretty much add to the MAGI, the Modified Adjusted Gross Income. Your interest, dividends, capital gains, capital gain distributions. Now, what helps? Capital losses. That can actually reduce your Modified Adjusted Gross Income, at least up to $3,000.
What about tax-free municipal bonds and things like that? I didn't think there would be any point in reporting that.
Is the interest on a tax-free municipal bond on your tax return?
Well,
it is, but it's not in the taxable column, but it is on the return.
Yeah.
And they add it into your MAGI.
Doggone those guys.
Passive income from real estate. Now, only the net number is included. So maybe I'm collecting $50,000 in rents, but I have depreciation and other things that show only $10,000 in taxable income. Then only the 10 is included. Or if I show a negative number from my rents, from my rental properties, maybe I don't have that much in rents, but between my cash, my maintenance and repairs, and my depreciation, I show a negative $20,000, that'll reduce my MAGI, my Modified Adjusted Gross Income.
Yeah.
So calculating the MAGI is just one step of the issue. Now you take that number, compare it to your thresholds. The original thresholds, as I mentioned, which were set in 1983, were $25,000 for a single individual and $32,000 for a married individual, a married couple, filing a joint return. You know, in 1983, there weren't that many people when all you do is include half of the Social Security in the MAGI. I forgot to mention that part.
Yeah, so you got to take half of whatever your, and that's your gross Social Security before you pay any Medicare.
Right, before the Medicare premiums.
Yeah.
You include half the Social Security in the MAGI. You know, back in 1983, there just weren't that many people retired that had a Modified Adjusted Gross Income in excess of $25,000. Forward ahead 30 plus years, a lot more people are now in that area where they have enough Modified Adjusted Gross Income that at least some portion of their Social Security will be taxable. And it's going to be affecting more and more and more people as we get higher Social Securities and even moderate distributions from IRAs, 401ks, and things of that nature.
Yeah, and that's another part of it too, which we'll get into a little bit more after the break, talking about how things like required minimum distributions can
taxable
affect your Social Security and put it into the taxable column. Right now, the way things stand right now, Professor Plum, if all you get are is Social Security income, that's it. Even if you're at the highest,
right,
you and a spouse are both at the highest level of payments, $3,000 or whatever it is, $3,200.
Right. The highest that I've ever seen is somebody receiving between a husband and wife. They turned them both on last year at age 70, and they're each receiving roughly $42,000 a year. So they're getting $84,000.
And they're living only off of Social Security. But
no, they're not. But they had other incomes as well.
Okay, all right.
But if that was the only income they
had. That's where I'm getting at here.
If the only thing they had was $84,000, oh, what a shame, right? It wouldn't be taxable. Now, it would actually show up on a tax return, but the amount that shows up on the tax return would be wiped out by their standard deduction and their personal exemption, so they actually didn't owe any taxes on the Social Security that they received.
Which is why when you hear from people who are only on Social Security or who have Social Security mostly, maybe some other income, but it's not enough to push them into the taxable column, you would hear them say, well, there's no way Social Security income is not taxed.
Right. So it's one of those things that for a lot of people, it's a, you know, obvious, you know, nobody pays tax on Social Security. Well, I got a little news for you, too. There are 13 states out of the 50 that also tax Social Security in retirement. That means that the majority of the states do not tax Social Security. Even one of the worst offenders on taxation, California, doesn't tax Social Security. So if you're one of those other 13, you're worse than California. You know, take that one for a while. You know, from taxes, oh my gosh.
Doesn't look good on your resume, believe me.
It would be not only taxable at the federal level for those 13 states, but it would be taxable at the state level as well. That can add up.
It can add up. Now, as I said, things like required minimum distribution start to add in a little bit. So people who have been on, say, living on Social Security, the majority of which, or let's just say for whatever reason, none of their Social Security has wound up in the taxable column. As they approach 70, they've been maybe taking their Social Security for 3-4 years. age 65, 66. They start to approach 70. All of a sudden, they're 70 and a half. Now they've got required minimum distributions. Okay, well, start taking money out of their IRAs. All of a sudden, for whatever reason, they knew that their taxable, the money coming out of the IRA was taxable, but they're paying a whole lot more than they thought they should have.
Well, I'm in the 15% bracket. Why did that $10,000 extra required minimum distribution cost me almost $3,000 in taxes?
Yeah, this is a $2,800 bill on this. I'm in the 15. Something is wrong. Well, what was wrong was, actually it's correct, your Social Security, a portion of it wound up being taxed, put in the taxable column because of that added income. We'll talk more about this strategy-wise coming up. We'll also take some phone calls. If you're on hold, stick around. Manny in Las Vegas, just a second. We'll get right to you right after the break. We got some answers for you. And still three lines open, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group. Coming back, Bucket Strategy Investing. More when we return. It is Bucket Strategy Investing. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, standing by from Lucia Capital Group, ready to talk to you about your money. We'll get to your calls in just 1 second here. A couple of lines open, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Emails too, if we don't have time this hour, which we may or may not, we'll get to them next hour. But you can email us at wealthed.com, our website, wealthed.com. And by the way, speaking of advice and wealth ed and all the fun that you're going to have, you get to meet the Brain Trust. You get to meet Professor Plum. You get to meet Terry Keyes, our other Brain Trust advisor that goes out and travels, and all the local advisors at the next workshop. We had a great time in Phoenix last Saturday, and there will be more fun to be had this Saturday, March 19th, Portland, Oregon. Join the Brain Trust in Portland this Saturday, March 19th. Still some room left. If you want to sign up, do so right now at our website, wealthed.com. It's all free. Just tell us you'd like to be there, and we'll make room for you. This Saturday, learn all about retirement income strategies and challenges Saturday in Portland. April 9th, Houston, Texas. That's a couple of weeks yet away. And then at the end of April, mark this down in San Jose, California. April 30th, San Jose, Brain Trust there in Northern California, talking to all our NoCal listeners about their money. So Portland, Houston, San Jose, those are the next three. That's going to cover now and the end of April. There may be more. If you'd like to join the Brain Trust after that, would like to meet us, just send us an email and say, hey, come on down or up or wherever you are and give us a list of the nice restaurants and what the weather's like. Okay, that's all I ask. Wealthed.com, sign up. Love to have you there. Okay, 877-PLANNER. We'll talk more about some of the stuff that came up in last Saturday's workshop, but we're going to take a couple of calls here. 877-752-6637 and more about Social Security taxation as well. Manny is next up in Las Vegas. Manny, thanks for calling. How can we help you today?
Yeah, well, after talking with your screener, I actually think I have kind of two related questions.
Okay.
I just stumbled on your program, so forgive me if you've answered this before, but I can imagine kind of a graph that shows, you know, people that have income and then debt, and, you know, at some point those things, you know, if you overspend and things like that, you come to some point of maybe where you're kind of hopelessly locked into a no-win situation where you're trying to plan for retirement, but it's difficult. And I'm just curious if you guys have anything like that. And then the second question is, where would I fit on that graph? Because I find myself, I'm constantly contending with debt, mm-hmm. and spending, where, you know, I'm trying to figure out how do I save for retirement. I mean, I'm 50 years old, but I'm, you know, I've come to that point where I've realized I need to start doing something so that I can
sure.
You know, prepare for, you know, taking care of myself, but it feels a little hopeless at my point. And I'm wondering if there was such a graph, you know, am I at a hopeless stage?
Well, it's never hopeless as long as you have a job and you're young enough, and you are young enough to do something about it. The issue, though, and the graph is, I mean, I've never heard of the graph that you're envisioning. And the reality is, even if there was a graph, what does it mean to you? Because the only thing that matters to you is you. What can you do about your situation? And so the issue is, you know, it sounds like the income is not where you want it to be, and you are using debt and other things to maintain a lifestyle that unfortunately your income is not currently providing. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. And I want to escape it, you know, but when I look at what it takes to kind of change things, it always takes more spending. It seems like it. It feels like that. It's like...
Well, it depends on what you're trying to do to get ahead. So the question is, you've only got two issues with this now. Either you have to find a way to make more money, or you have to spend less. I mean, it sounds very simplistic, but that's what it comes down to. And so if you own a property, if you own a house, you may have to downsize. Or if you're renting, you may have to also downsize that to a less expensive area. If you've got nice cars or, you know, something that you may have, some of this is going to be, unfortunately, very difficult decisions, decisions we don't want to make. We're going to have to either find a way to make more money, which isn't that easy. If it was easy, we would have already been making more money. And if without right. with the absence of more income, the only other thing to do is to reduce the expenses. And while most people think, well, I can't reduce my expenses, I've talked to some people. Their mortgages are fairly high. Their houses, they're very nice houses and things. Yeah, you can reduce your expenses, but it's not something that you want to do. Obviously, if you'd wanted to do it, you would have already done it. They can give up the really nice cars and go back to a Toyota instead of a Lexus, something of that nature. I don't know what the issues are, but unfortunately, it is not going to be easy, and it's gonna not be easy more from an emotional standpoint than from a purely financial one, because we know what to do financially. Make more money.
Right. Well,
spend
I mean,
less.
There's expenses you can control, right? Like you said, you downsize an apartment, or you give up some luxuries. I get that. I'm talking about, well, you've already spent. You now have credit card debt. You have loans, et cetera. And you have alimony. I mean, there are things that you can't say no to. You have to
right.
pay these things.
Right.
And your income is just barely, keeping your head above water. Am I on that graph? That's why I said that graph where that says I've reached a point where, bankruptcy is the only option for me. I don't know.
Bankruptcy may be an option for you. I don't care where I fall on the graph of everybody. I care where I fall in my life and my personal graph as to what can I do to make my specific situation better? What can Manny do to make his specific situation better? And unfortunately for some, bankruptcy is their best option to be able to get rid of much of, you obviously not going to get rid of all those payments, but you get rid of quite a few of those payments, which opens up the ability to start taking care of potential future issues. It's not going to be fun, but it may be that bankruptcy, I don't know of any graph. I mean, there may be one from a bankruptcy attorney that looks at those types of things, but I don't know of any graph like what you're talking about.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's
okay.
And it's not, it's certainly at your 50. So Manny, I mean, you got time. I think if you were 60, it might be a little bit more dire, but you do have time as long as you can work. And
now may be the time to make the steps and unfortunately
sure.
bite that bankruptcy bullet, deal with it, get it behind you, get some extra cash flow, downsize, start saving, start investing, and create a new way of life for yourself.
Yeah, people have done it and they've done it successfully. And again, I think because of the amount of time that you may have, Manny, it's not hopeless by any means, I would say. Might seem like it, but it's not.
Okay.
Is that all right? Does that help you out?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
Okay, just giving you some ideas on the brighter side.
And start saving into your 401k if you have them, because then they can't touch that in the bankruptcy either.
No, that's true. That's true. And it helps you too. By
that
way,
helps
if you.
You
can. Absolutely. Yeah, it's not hopeless. Again, I think Manny's 50. If he's able to work, I don't know what he does, but if he's able to work until mid-60s, that still gives you 15 years.
But he's got to get out from under this debt albatross he's got hanging around
yes,
his neck.
Yes, that is the main thing, because if all you're going to do is work to pay off something that you already owe, you're not going to have anything left. You might have it paid off by the time you're 60, 65, but then you really do have nothing. So if there's no other way around it, you could certainly work with different debt specialists, bankruptcy attorneys, and things like that. They'll help you out, and they'll say, here's the best way to go. I know some people say, oh, you owe, pay what you owe. But let me tell you, it's not always feasible. That's why the bankruptcy rules and laws are there. Okay, hang on. If you have any other questions, Marguerite, you're going to be next. Don't go away in Portland, Oregon. We're going to get to your question. When we come back, we'll give you plenty of time to answer it. So do not go away. That's a direct order from the Brain Trust. Hey, we got two lines open. Three now. 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum, back on Bucket Strategy Investing. Bucket Strategy Investing. We're here for the rest of this hour and another hour, but that means you should get your phone calls in now. 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum from Lucia Capital Group. Email's coming up too, wealthed.com. And don't forget, speaking of WealthEd, it's the Social Security Show. That's coming up every Tuesday. And if you happen to be watching on a Monday, that would be tomorrow. So 1 o'clock Pacific, 4 o'clock Eastern time, every Tuesday, I'm here with Professor Rick Plum for about 27, 28 minutes, and it flies by. Believe me. Your Social Security questions are answered via email and phone call form. We also go over strategies, laws, rules, all that kind of stuff. So learn about Social Security on the Social Security Show. It's only at WealthEd.com. Our website, it's online only, WealthEd.com. Tuesdays, 1 o'clock Pacific, 4 o'clock Eastern time. All right, back to the phones we go. Still a line or two open, 877-PLANNER, P-L-A-N-N-E-R. Up next, Marguerite in Portland, Oregon. Hi, Marguerite.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome. What's up?
I love your show.
Thank you.
Which brings me to this next question that I don't have an answer for. I'm 68. I have most of my money with Fidelity and IRA, and I've been doing what I call an inside conversion to a Roth IRA,
mm-hmm.
and I paid the tax, and then I buy the same Fidelity growth stock,
mm-hmm.
and I understand after 5 years, then anything and everything is tax-free. But my question is, can I contribute after I'm 70 and a half to the Roth IRA?
Are you working?
Pardon?
Are you working?
No.
Then you cannot contribute new money to the Roth or the traditional IRA.
No, not new money, but inside conversion.
When you say inside conversion, what does that mean?
That means what I do is, like, this is the third year, I call Fidelity and I say I'd like $4,000 or five taken from my Fidelity growth, put in cash, and then after it, the transaction goes through, then I call and I say, okay, put this in, please, my Roth.
It was originally in your traditional IRA, and you're just moving cash from your traditional IRA to your Roth IRA. Is that right? I think we dropped.
Technically, yes.
Okay, well, that's a conversion. Whether you have them sell the mutual fund and then move cash, or whether you just tell them to move number of shares of the mutual fund from your traditional IRA to the Roth IRA, that is a conversion. It's all happening at the same brokerage company, but the account, the titling of the ownership of that mutual fund is changing from your traditional IRA to your Roth IRA. And you can convert at any age for as long as you want to convert. It doesn't matter. You can convert that at 85, 95, 105 if you still want to do that, as long as you take out your required minimum distribution from your traditional IRA first.
Oh, absolutely.
Once you take the required minimum, say I have $100,000 in my IRA, my required minimum distribution is, I'll call it $4,000. So I pull the $4,000 out, done with my required minimum distribution. Now I can convert any amount of the remaining $96,000 that I want to convert. What I want to convert, $2,000, I want to convert $95,000, $96,000, I can do whatever I want in that calendar year because I have satisfied my RMD and the rest of it is eligible for conversion.
That is marvelous. And what a way to make money without working.
Okay.
I like it.
As long as the tax.
I knew this when I was younger, but better late than never. So
there's a lot of things we wish we knew better than when we were younger. We finally learn it as we get a little bit older.
But as long as we learn, I don't mind paying taxes. I love my country.
Okay. As long as it works for you, it's a great deal. Just make sure you do
it.
Your RMD
first.
Thank you
for that answer.
Yeah, you're make sure you, and make sure, as you said, make sure you do your RMD first, Marguerite. Okay?
Absolutely. When I get that age.
Yes.
And I will. I mean, that's never a problem. I'm doing it now.
Well, that's
okay,
good.
Okay, thank you.
Marguerite, thank you for the call. I like people who are peppy like that. That's good. That's good. And she's still a couple of years away from required minimum
distribution.
She's
got a couple years.
But get used to doing it now, doing what she's doing.
And when she hits 70 and a half, she'll do a little less, but she'll still do some. You know, there is no age limit on conversions. There is no age limit on contributions, but there's that pesky little requirement that you're working to make contributions.
Yes, you must have some type of W-2 or net Schedule C income in order to contribute, and you cannot contribute more than you actually make from said income, up to a maximum of, you know, $5,500 or $6,500, depending on how old you are. Did I cover it all?
Yes, but you know, the W-2 income does have to be from current job, can't be a deferred comp, can't be from previous employment.
Yeah, okay, I knew I missed something, but we have had that, where somebody had, the caller last week had said, I have this deferred comp coming in from a few years ago.
Options. I left work in 2007. I finally exercised my stock options. Does
like
that count?
No.
It came on a W-2.
Yep, doesn't work. Okay, 877-PLANNER. Now we have two lines open, 877-752-6637. Let's move to Mark in Las Vegas, Nevada up next. Hi, Mark.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Great, how you doing?
Good. I've got a question for you about IRA traditional versus Roth. I'm 52 years old. I currently make about $78,000 gross a year. My accountant is encouraging me to put $6,500 into an IRA. Mm-hmm. And he is saying that I should put it into a traditional IRA.
Okay.
And I was wondering, what is the big difference between, for me in my situation, a Roth versus a traditional, and what you would recommend?
Are you married or single, Mark?
I'm single. I have two children, and I'm a single father. I'm actually taking one as a dependent, so I share one with my wife.
Okay.
Ex-wife.
Yeah. And so how much in current traditional IRA, tax-deferred 401k, 457s, things of that nature do you right now have?
I don't. I have about $30,000 in stocks.
But that's in your personal name?
Correct. And what I was going to do was sell $6,500 worth of that and put it into an IRA for the tax advantage that my accountant says I can get now.
Okay, one last question. Will you have a pension in retirement?
I will not. But I'm probably going to do things that I make that my tax bracket will go down quite a bit after, let's say, the age of 65.
And that's exactly why your accountant is correct. Get the tax deduction today while you're in a higher tax bracket. Even head a household with $78,000 of income, you're in the 25% bracket or very close to it, if not. And so you're getting a bracket today that you get to take a tax deduction today, so you get to save some money on your taxes today. Now, you will pay taxes when you take the money out of the IRA, but you're going to be in a lot lower bracket when you retire, so it's a better deal for you to get a benefit today, a big benefit today with a little cost later, versus no benefit today with a little, no tax savings today with a little benefit later on. You're not going to be in that high of a tax bracket in retirement, so the Roth isn't going to help you that much. Today, it helps you with the deduction.
Right. So you're saying the traditional is the way to go now?
I am, yes. Now, if you had answered that you already had $1 million in traditional IRAs, I would have said, no, let's go the other way, because you'll be in a really high tax bracket in retirement. It's not that situation, unfortunately. So you're better off actually doing what your accountant said.
Now, when I put the money into the IRA, am I allowed to buy individual stocks in that IRA?
Sure. You just have to open an account, an IRA account, at a place that allows you to buy the stocks. I mean, you can't go to your bank and because they're going to only offer CDs. Now, if you go to your bank, they'll send you to a brokerage arm of the bank, which will let you buy stocks and things. But, you go to a place that, open the IRA where you want to open it, where you could probably open it at the exact same institution where you own your stocks now. You just open a new account.
You're saying I don't have to go to my credit union. I could just go to Ameritrade, which is my stock broking account, and purchase my IRA there.
I am pretty sure. I can't say for sure because I've never opened one there, but I'm daggum sure that Ameritrade would allow you to create a traditional IRA that you could put the money into and then direct it into the stocks and mutual funds and whatever other investments you want that they handle.
Great. Hey, I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Mark, thank you for the call. Yeah, and his accountant, Mark's accountant, got it right. I would hope an accountant probably would, or
sometimes
or advisor.
Accountants only focus on today's taxes.
Well, yeah.
This one was right.
Yeah, this is more in the planning arena, I suppose. But, I mean, this is fairly basic when you're trying to consider a traditional versus a Roth. You take a bigger tax deduction now and get have to pay a slight bit later.
Mm-hmm.
Or do you take no deduction now, take no benefit, and, you know, maybe get a small benefit later on by taking it out tax-free?
And he was, 52 years of age? And so if all he's going to be able to unfortunately save over the next several years is $6,500, he's not going to build up a very large traditional IRA. So the distribution is not going to be very large. And so if all he has at that point, because he didn't have a pension, is Social Security and, you know, X amount of dollars coming out of an IRA, he probably won't pay any taxes. It's going to be tax-free either way.
Exactly. And that's one of the first questions you should be asking yourself if you're trying to decide, do I do a traditional IRA or a Roth IRA? Said this before. What tax bracket are you in now versus what tax bracket are you going to be in later? If you're going to be in a much higher tax bracket later on, tax-free then is much better. If not, hey, take the deduction now. 877-PLANNER, PLANNER. A lot more, some lines open. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. We're coming right back. PLANNER, our number, PLANNER. Johnny Dean, Professor Rick Plum. There's another hour of Bucket Strategy Investing coming up next hour, so stay tuned for more of this. We haven't finished, in fact, the stuff on Social Security taxation, so we do have a few more things to say about that. We'll do it either this segment, take some emails and phone calls and all that stuff, and more coming up next hour on this program. And more coming up in person, too. And remind you once again, a special thanks to everybody in Phoenix. Had a great time last Saturday, and there's going to be more coming up this Saturday. Portland, Oregon. All you folks in Portland, surrounding area, all throughout Oregon, just come join the Brain Trust in Portland this Saturday at the Retirement Income Strategies Workshops, March 19th. If you need the actual date, go to wealthed.com, our website, to sign up, wealthed.com. We'd love to see you there in Portland this Saturday. A lot of stuff to talk about. Houston, Texas follows that April 9th, a couple of weeks down the road, and then yet another couple of weeks down the road after that, April 30th in San Jose. So the next three locations, this Saturday, Portland, Houston coming up in April, and San Jose, California in April. Mark those down. Join us if you can. Love to see you there. WealthEd.com, our website, WealthEd.com. It's free. Bring your money questions and learn all about retirement income strategies from the Brain Trust in person. And say hi. We'd love to see you, as I said, wealthed.com. 877-PLANNER, got a couple of lines open right now, 877-752-6637. I'm going to just sort of double back here before the end of the hour on this taxation of Social Security. There is a modified adjusted gross income. We sort of mentioned it a little bit, Professor Plum.
Yes.
That will figure whether or not your Social Security is going to be taxed. Now, we also have, we mentioned the types of income that could affect your Social Security as far as taxation goes. What sort of benefits should be taxed? I mean, I've heard things like disability benefits are different from the retirement benefits, so they are exempt from taxes. Not necessarily true.
They do not differentiate between what type of benefit you're receiving. Social Security benefits are potentially taxable based on your modified adjusted gross income, regardless of the type of benefit you're receiving. Whether it's a disability benefit, a retirement benefit, a spousal retirement benefit, an ex-spousal retirement benefit, a widow's benefit, a dependent adult child benefit, I mean, if they're receiving it, they don't differentiate. Social Security payments are potentially taxable based on other incomes. Your modified adjusted gross income will dictate whether your Social Security, the Social Security that you were paid, regardless of why you were paid it, it will dictate whether mm-hmm. or not you actually have to pay taxes on it. Now, that's one common issue. Age is another common miscommunication. It never goes away. It will always be taxable if your income is over those certain thresholds. So it's not that it's, you know, once you get to full retirement age, it's not taxed anymore. People misinterpret that a lot because they, you know, put the retirement earnings test in the same category. They're different tests. So there is lots of things going on. And so it may not be taxable 1 year, but you have a big capital gain or you have a big IRA distribution 1 year, then it becomes taxable the next year. Then you don't have any income the following year. It goes back to not being taxable. It's a year-by-year issue based on the other income that you receive in addition to your Social Security.
Right. So what happens is if some of your Social Security winds up being taxed, all you do is you're going to take whatever portion is above those thresholds that you mentioned. That goes into the taxable column. Now the question is how much?
Well, you take a portion of what's above the threshold and put it in. Mm-hmm. And how much of a how much is taxable? Well, at first they're just letting you put your little toes in the taxation side. Only $1 for every $2 over that first threshold is becoming taxable. So it's a 50% hit.
So let's say you're single. We'll just take a single person.
Right. So if you've got a MAGI, modified adjusted gross income, of $26,000, you're in that 50% phase-in mark. That doesn't mean that 50% of your Social Security is taxable. 50% of the difference mm-hmm. between your MAGI and the threshold is taxable.
So now you got $1,000.
You got $500 of taxable income.
Oh, because it's half. Yeah.
You take half the difference.
Yes.
But once you go past the next threshold, $34,000 for a married or for a single individual, now it starts adding up fairly quickly. You know, for every dollar you go over that threshold, 85 cents of your Social Security goes into the taxable column until such time as the total amount of your Social Security that's being taxable is 85%.
85% wind up in the taxable column. And this is where the surprise comes in for people who are used to not having any of their Social Security tax. But once they hit, say, required minimum distribution age, as they take money out of their IRA, as they're required to do, this subjects a lot of that Social Security to taxation. So is there any way around this?
Don't have as much other income.
And how do you do that? Well, I mean, some of this is required out of your IRA.
Right.
Do you have to be thinking about this well ahead of time?
Well, you should be thinking about well ahead of time. One of the things you can do is postpone taking Social Security until 70 and do Roth conversions. Or once you get to required minimum distribution age, you might look at it and say, you know what? Because my RMD, most of my Social Security is being taxed already, but I still have room in the bracket, so I'm going to accelerate more of a distribution in the form of a conversion. Obviously, take my required minimum distribution, which is basically putting, you know, a gun to my Social Security's head. It's giving a pretty big tax already. I'm already at the top of the Social Security being taxed, but I've got more room. Now I'm going to actually increase my taxation for a couple of years and try to bring my IRA balance down so that at some point in the future, either while I'm alive, or my wife, mm-hmm. if she survives me, will have a better tax situation in the future.
That could be a very difficult thing for people to do, though. As they say, well, I can pay taxes now or I can pay taxes later. Gee, I'd much rather put it off. I'd really rather not pay taxes now. But that's going to create greater taxes
later.
It's
not just a pay me now or pay me later. It's pay me now or potentially pay me a lot more later. And if that's the case, paying now is better than paying a lot more later.
Mm-hmm.
But some people don't have to pay that lot more later. And so we have to look at it in your situation.
Had a question once, not at this last workshop, but the one before that, and I'll just throw this out to you in the minute that we have. When the system started, wasn't there a promise that the Social Security benefits would be tax-free, Professor Plum?
That's a common email that's been floating around for more than 10 years now about the government basically stealing your Social Security. They promised that it would be tax-free. They promised this and all this. No, they didn't promise that it would be tax-free. Actually, when Social Security was created, they didn't say anything about taxes. They didn't promise that it wouldn't be. They didn't promise that it would be. It just was a non-issue. So it wasn't that they promised that they would never tax it. They just didn't think about taxing it at that point. It wasn't until, you know, in the 80s when the Greenspan Commission got together that they said, you know what, the trust fund is looking like it's not going to last forever anymore, like it was originally designed to do. So we need to find some way. And they rationalized taxing up to 50% of your benefit because you pay 50% of the tax, your employer does, your employer takes the tax deduction for their side. That's how they rationalize the 50.
It makes no sense, but this is what they're doing. Okay, we got more coming up. If you need the brain trust off the air, talk to Professor Plum or any of the advisors at Lucia Capital Group at 800-644-1150. Again, off the air, 800-644-1150. On the air, 877-PLANNER. Give us a call. There's another hour just ahead of Bucket Strategy Investing.
Information presented should not be considered specific tax, legal, or investment advice. You should always seek counsel of the appropriate advisor prior to making any investment decision. All investments are subject to risk, including the loss of principal. There is no guarantee that any investing or financial planning strategy will be profitable, provide protection from loss, or meet its stated objectives. Investment advisor representatives of Lucia Capital Group are also registered representatives of and offer securities through Lucia Securities, LLC, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. John Dean is an associated person with Lucia Securities, LLC. In the information presented, the opinions and views expressed are subject to change without notice and may not come to pass. Registration with the SEC does not imply a certain level of skill or training.